The Unemployed Relations Legislative Coordinated Commission to order. We'll start out as a subcommittee and we'll hear, I don't know if this is the last piece of the puzzle or is there another piece to come from Minsky or, well, why don't somebody come forward as Mary Larry, how are you? Good to see you. And I believe, let me announce, we do have a quorum. So thank you. And you present this as part of the collective bargaining agreement.
Yes, this is not the last piece of the puzzle, but it is the last faculty contract that we have moving forward. Okay. We still have one other contract out for MUSAF. Thank you for calling the meeting and letting us present this for approval and recommendation by your committee today. My name is Mary Leary. I'm the Associate Vice Chancellor for Labor Relations for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. The contract that we have before us is the contract for the Minnesota State College faculty. There are approximately 4,300 faculty FTE at the community and technical colleges. The contract continues to have some distinctions between the what we consider the old blues and greens, but the technical and the community colleges. And attached to your summary via email was a copy of the tentative agreement in a legislative format. I'll quickly go through a summary of the significant economic issues and then stand for any questions if you have any. The first year of the contract is effective July 1st, 2007, so we're partially through that year. The wage increase in the economic package, the wage increases that year, $500 to the salary ranges, effective July 1st. Also effective July 1st is there is a one-step movement for all returning faculty. A one-step movement is approximately an average of 3%. It ranges between 2.5% and 5%, depending on where people currently sit on the salary schedule. But the average of all of the salaries is 3%. On approval of the contract, the faculty at the top of their salary ranges, they receive a lump sum payment of $4,000. They also receive the benefit of the $800 that all faculty on this salary schedule receive. They had another lump sum of $800 for all faculty. So those at the top get $4,000. Everybody on the salary schedule gets $800. For the second year, effective July 1st, 2008, there is also a one-step increase, again, that is equal to about 3.3%, 3.05, I believe. It ranges between 2.5% and 5%. Also effective October 1st, faculty at the top of their range, 2008, the faculty at the top received $1,250 in addition in a lump sum. In addition, all faculty on the salary schedule receive a lump of $800 prorated by FTE, effective February 4th, 2009. Minsky will continue to match the faculty members' contributions to the supplemental retirement accounts. In the first year, it's at $2,300, increases to $2,500 in the second year. Other provisions, and primarily language provisions, the academic year stays the same, 171 days, which include class days, test days, and duty days.
Mary, excuse me, are the next, the 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 provisions the continuations of what was there before? Is that correct?
Those that say continue in the front are continuations of what were there before.
Yeah, that looks
so 5, 6.
7 through 13, right?
Yes, there's some minor changes. If you look at 9, the phased retirement switched from the number of years changed from, they can be on phased retirement, changed from 10 years to 6 years. It's been a decrease in the number of years.
Sabbaticals. Mr. Chairman, what does that mean?
Previously, they could come back after they retired, or not, they wouldn't retire. They would do phased retirement, and they would start retirement, but then continue to work part-time. They could work up to 6 years now under the new contract. They could work up to 10 years. And we see this somewhat beneficial because if you look at the demographics, we see a decline in the numbers of of persons with these qualifications that will be available in the job market. So we think it's a positive transition both for the faculty and for the institution.
Well, Mr. Chair, if there's a decline in qualified people, why wouldn't you want to extend it longer rather than reduce it? I'm not sure I understand.
Well, it also has a different effect on those growing into the positions. So it's kind of a positive balance between the two. You don't want to limit the ability for those that are growing into them.
Okay, okay, what other changes on the next? Number 10, is that?
Number 13.
14. Okay, what's that?
The awards of excellence are the same. Sabbatical leaves. We did a change to sabbatical leaves for new faculty coming in after July 1st, 2008. There was an increased trend in terms of the amount of sabbaticals. Your first one was under the current contract was at 2/3, at the second sabbatical at 80, and at the third 90. So that's at about 30 years of employment. You get your third one at 90% of your wage. We wanted to make sure that we could shift that paradigm so people earlier in their career would take the sabbatical and the institution would benefit more from that investment. So we flatlined it, and it's an 80% for all sabbaticals for employees beginning after July 1st. Current employees can opt into that.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson?
Mr. Chairman, after the first one is they're eligible for after 6 years of service, what is the span between the first and second and so forth?
As I recall, it's 10 years after that. Saying that aside.
10 years before they can have a second one.
Yes.
So it still is 3% a year.
Thank you.
You know what the fourth.
So what we were seeing was, and the reason we wanted to change that, the manner in which they were offered, we were seeing people take that last sabbatical, come back for a year, because there's a requirement to come back for at least a year, and leaving shortly thereafter. And so we wanted to make sure that we could get more benefit for that those dollars. The cost sheet is attached, and there are a number of other language things that increase the number of students that could be in small classes. Faculty could also, it increased the number up to 5, I believe. Faculty could also allow 2 additional students once they reach their max. There were provisions that allowed for increased time for. There was already some language from those on the community college side, but there was language added to the technical college site to post office hours. So they have to post, in addition to, and they have a lot of contact hours already, but in addition to that, we wanted to have time where people could come to their office and discuss issues with them. And so we have an hour or 2 hours a week. So it's about a half an hour for 4 days a week. All right. But they can schedule that as they wish, but in no less than half-hour increments.
That's interesting.
There are a number of articles that we changed from informed versus permission, where we used to have to reach agreement with the state level MSCF. Now we can reach agreement with the faculty and then inform so that we can increase the flexibility in how we do business at the campus level. We obtained some other language for increased flexibility in combining classes where you have small classes. So what we're concerned about is that some of the campuses having to eliminate programs if you can't get enough students in them, but students really need those in the rural areas. So we obtained some greater flexibility in that. And we were able to do some significant changes in the layoff of part-time claiming provisions that put limitations on the number of hours, because we had people that were claiming extensive numbers of hours that they could not possibly have taught. And it was a disservice to us because then we're scrambling at the last minute. But it also was to the faculty because then other faculty who were on layoff couldn't claim them. So now we have a pretty clear, I think a very good new layoff provisions that allow them to claim 21 hours. And there's certain periods of time that we have to give notice of the vacancies and that they claim within. But it's much better so that all of the claiming is done for those classes that are posted in advance before the semester starts, and it's much more orderly, and I think beneficial to both. Additional language to support advising of students. So to reduce the amount of a payment for class prep time. A class only counts as a prep when the first semester of the year. If they teach it two semesters, they don't get prep for both times. And that those are the major changes. If you have any other questions, I'm happy to ask.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, ma'am, I'm still back where you, the comment you made before you started your description about referring to them as the blues and the greens. Could you translate that?
I apologize. That's obviously our terminology. The greens, the community college faculty, their contract was always green, so we refer to them as the greens, but the community college faculty and the technical college faculty.
But the technical and college faculty, they're the blues.
They're the blues.
And the
and
community
it's really,
college is
they
the
refer
greens.
Back to contract colors. Sorry. but because they came out of very different systems, there's still some differences in the contract for them. And I
Mr. Chair, ma'am, I'm very familiar with the systems.
Well, the bottom line is, what, 6% overall for the 2 years?
Base increases. Their steps are six. That's the steps, because the steps are about 3% each. But then we also have a $500 to base in the first
okay.
year.
Representative Lenny.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Leary, the $41.4 million in new money that this contract would cost, by how much roughly does that exceed what was budgeted?
We stayed within the authority and came in slightly under it. The authority that was given is going to the table.
Mr. Lenny, Representative.
Does that mean that the 41.4 roughly was what was budgeted for all of these institutions in terms of salary increases?
It's actually slightly less than the figure that we were given, but we were very clear we were trading language for funds, for money at the table. So it was slightly less than the figure that we were given. The amount was, as I understand it, and Susan Anderson is here and she can correct me if I'm wrong. That amount was in the budget. Some of the cost was coming out of new money. Some of the costs were coming out of changes at the campus level. But yes. So it was in the budget. We were clearly within the authority and the budgeted amount.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Finance is here if you would like to pursue that any further.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Vice Chancellor. Just have a couple questions. You mentioned faculty, and I was just wondering how many classes are your is there a limit to how many classes a faculty member is able to teach, number one?
It's not classes per se. What you look at is because we have a combination of classes and other kinds of duty days, they may have release time, they may have overload, which increases, but I think there's a limit of 15 credits for the year. But how many?
Per semester, 30.
15 credits per the year. It generally runs about 5 classes, though. But it may be smaller if they have small classes, because then they don't, or if they have classes that are less than 3 credits. It's a credit, not a class.
Okay. Thank you, Vice Chancellor.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair, and a couple other questions. Are faculty paid the same if they're doing internet classes versus person-in-person type of scenario?
No. What? Yes.
We might, depending on any further questions, we might need this.
I'm going to have Jeff come
gentleman up. Get it under.
Yeah, record. Jeff, come over. This is Jeff Wade. He's the supervisor for labor relations for the 2-year college faculty.
Good morning.
From Minsk.
Good morning. State your name again for the record.
I'm Jeffrey Wade. I'm system director for labor relations on the 2-year side. So I'm basically in charge of the 2-year institutions in Minsk.
Okay.
And I work for Ms. Leary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And sir, just wondering if this faculty's paid the same for an online class versus a person-to-person type scenario where you would be, have an instructor in front of you sitting.
Yes, they are. We do not have any differential for online classes versus land-based classes.
Okay. Thank you. And then just one final, I don't know if it's a, it's more for the chancellor. On the House floor the other day, when we were proposing some of these bills, and I'm just going to take one line item, for example, the administrators, you have a 10% increase for the biennium. What is the rationale, and then how do we defend that as members? Because some of the members were questioning such a high increase, and I'm just using. Could you just give us one example, please?
That probably is a better question for my boss, Bill Cheetah, who is the director of HR, because I haven't been in on those discussions. What I do know and what we have done throughout the system is economic analysis to see how competitive we are with our peers. And that's why you'll see significant differences, even if you look at the IFO versus MSCF this time, because the way the money was, way the wage increases were given or payments were made, clearly looked at keeping people in a competitive or raising them to a more competitive position so we could attract and retain. If we were not competitive, and I think that may well be the case with both administrators and IFO, we had more money in that. If you look at the H and the M numbers, MSCF, we were competitive, so you look at those numbers, they're different.
Senator Scheid.
Well, to Representative Lilly, we lost three presidents. I don't know if it's just this year or this school year anyway. I mean, and we're losing them not to other institutions in the state, but when she's talking about competitiveness, she means across the nation and trying to keep really good people. And we just lost some really good people is a real challenge. And it stands out because we have, you know, a budget shortfall, obviously. But there are some things we can't afford not to do, and I think this is one of those areas. And so if you look at what is being offered people around the country, you'll see that we're not being overly generous, but I think we took steps some years ago for the chancellor, for example, and that was met with some resistance about how high we went with that range. And so I think to keep really good people, we need to pay them. It's competitive. We need to be competitive with what is, and we're still not up to the, I mean, I don't, we're still not up to where a lot of states are.
So did you wish to respond to Representative Bigger?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Representative Lilly.
Senator Scheid and the Chancellor, thank you for your presentation. I agree, and I just we had a opportunity the other day as the vice chair was presenting the bill to respond to many questions. So I was just trying to give some general background and support for our bill as it moves forward. And I agree with you, and but we are in a political place as well.
And I would just like to thank you for that reflection. We've in fact lost five presidents recently.
Five.
Yes.
Representative Bigham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, perhaps I was being questioned a little bit because I'm a first-term member, and maybe this is a pretty detailed bill. I rumor has it that happens around here, too. But I maybe didn't have the correct answer because I drew a blank. But the question was from the floor was about HESO and the near 17% increases. And the correct answer, or 17% increase in there, budget is because of the steps for that's built in steps for the employees if they aren't at the top of their range. And that was the correct answer that I did not give on the floor because I was confused. But I do agree with both Senator Scheid and my good friend Representative Lilly here that these are positions that we're losing very talented people to, and they are comparable to the private sector. Which in a kind of a letter of response to Representative Emmer in a committee from the Department of Employee Relations, which was kind of a non-answer in the letter. But, you know, we do take a look at that, and so that is considered as far as the private sector, too. is concerned, the comparability of the salaries.
Okay, any further questions? Senator Worgen.
Well, Mr. Chair, there was recently an article where the costs of higher education in Minnesota are significantly higher than the national average. If our faculty staffs are lower, I think some work should be done somewhere to see where the money is being spent.
I think it may be where the money is being funded from, and we would be happy to engage in a further discussion of this. We have done some studies of the cost for administrative costs for the system, and we are one of the lowest in terms of the percentage of money spent on administration in the nation. We're very low compared to other systems. So I really think we may want to have a further dialogue on that in terms of funds going in versus funds, the percentage of funds spent.
Well, Mr. Chair.
We've been cutting back a little bit.
Vice Chair. As the Vice Chair, Senator Worgen.
Thank you. Well, that begs the question even stronger now. I'm hearing that our administration is about the lowest in the nation and our faculty is about middle of the nation, if I understand it correctly, and still our student costs are, I believe, almost twice the national average. That, to me, would indicate that something is wrong, which is not the labor relations subcommittee by any means, but there absolutely is a problem in the system.
What on that issue, what is the state, and I should know that off the top of my head, but what has the state contribution been the last 3-4 years? Has it gone down? Would that account for, you know, our participation? I know we've cut a lot of budgets.
Well, Mr. Chair,
yeah.
That doesn't account for it. That was taken into account in this scenario in spite of all of that. In spite of the way we're funded, the students are still paying a much
We're going to get another.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Worgen, I think
Jerry, I know who you are, but identify yourself for the tape.
Jerry Janisich for State Colleges and Universities. The issue, I believe, in the article was the student share. And because of the lack of funding for more than just us, the tuition piece has been rising, and that would be the student share. Currently, the state's appropriation to us has dropped. At one time, it was 67%. I believe now it's a little less than 50%. And that's transpired over the last, probably since 2002 or 2003, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Mr. Chair, obviously we don't need to prolong this, but Mr. Janisich, if I recall correctly, that the state share was not disproportionately low. The overall expenditure per student was significantly high.
But that... Mr. Chair, Senator Worgen, I think that's driven by that. Okay, I think that most of what happened over the last 4 or 5 years, other than last year when you gave us a very nice appropriation that we're here to cut again because of the finances, most of that was driven to a shift on the students. I mean, we made the cuts in 2003. And shifted what we didn't cut onto students.
Okay. You're not totally convinced there's Senator Worgen.
Mr. Chair, I'm not convinced at all, but I'll let it go.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, I'll bring somebody to Senator Worgen, and we'll walk through that.
Well, we've had a lot of budget constraints around here, a lot of cutting back, so... like to compare a little bit to the local property taxes are going up because we cut some of our aid. But anyway, that's another day and another story. Any further discussion on Representative Lilly, did you wish to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
Yes, sir.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on this part of the Minsky collective bargaining piece of the puzzle.
Mr. Chairman, would you like a motion?
Yes, I think it's...
I'd like to move the SER 1.
Okay.
I actually read it, and I agree with it.
Okay. Senator Scheid moves the resolution, the recommendation of the approval. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
And, Mr. Chairman, we have one more thing to come.
Yeah, I think we have one.
One more Minscu contract and one more contract from Dewar for the nurses.
Okay.
Nurses, yeah. Okay. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.